Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I do have a correction to make at the start of this program. I said a former Marine, and I was corrected during the break. My new understanding is
now you know this.
Once a Marine,
this is correct.
Always a Marine. So I just want to put that out right now for you. But we have the pleasure of having Steve with us on the program and what he contributes to VFN TV, but also that he is a Marine and he served our nation. And so we're going to just get some insight from you and help us understand this, Steve, because we want to honor our veterans.
Yeah.
You know, we see all these guys and ladies coming back. How can we appreciate their service?
Well, I mean, you think about what they've gone through, and a lot of people try to put, you know, the what exactly all the whole medical thing about PTSD, and like you said, post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's just like, war is not normal. You know, it's traumatic. You know, I remember coming back myself, and I had a lot of difficulty, and a good friend of mine, Jeremy, had said, you know, PTSD is nothing more than a natural reaction to an unnatural reality, and it's just like...
Oh, wow, say that again.
PTSD is nothing more than a natural reaction to an unnatural reality.
Wow.
And guys that go through war and women that go through war, it's like you can train all you want for that. But when you see the things that you see in war, the person that you come back, you're never going to be the person that you were, whoever you were before you deployed.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are going through difficulty because the stress, the pressure, the responsibilities, and they come home and now they have to deal with children, spouse, just family, and then what is life again?
Yeah.
And a lot of times too, it's like if you become stagnant, you're not sure what to do, it can kind of come in and just kind of implode on yourself. But when you see what this guy's doing, you know, biking from one coast to the other, reaching out and just saying, I want to reach and impact all veterans. It's just like when you go through such trials of war and you realize how different is my struggles and my pain when I can say, hey, there's others going through this exact same reality.
Right.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, we have veterans today that you know, soldiers that are coming back that are missing limbs.
Mm-hmm.
They're wounded, and now they have to acclimate to society. Now they were walking around with all sorts of weaponry, and they were taking life and saving life and you know, protecting themselves. And now they've come back to a society that maybe doesn't even know how to approach them, doesn't know how to honor them. Doesn't even know how to relate to them, can't really appreciate what these men, what these women have done and are doing for us each and every single day. And so I think as believers, it's important for us to do the due diligence, to learn, to study, to interview and talk to people like Steve and to tell us, hey, what can we do and what is it like? You know, some of the biggest things that we can do is to learn to empathize, and that is to feel what other people are feeling or have felt so that we can better understand, kind of walking in their shoes. And in order to do that, we have to be able to hear the stories and understand what it was like. I mean, you went to Iraq, right?
Yeah, I was based out of Fallujah. I had two different deployments.
Okay. But, and how long were your deployments?
Both deployments were 7 months. So in country, I was 14 months total time in there.
Okay. What was that like being able to make that transition? Because, you know, I've heard these stories, but share with our audience what you were doing on a continual basis and what the weather conditions were like and what was it like coming back home?
Well, the first deployment was excessively hot. We were there during the summer, and I think some of our missions, it peaked at about 140, 150 degrees, and you don't even consider...
150 degrees?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I melt at 85 degrees. Yeah. I mean, 150?
Most people do, but it's amazing what the bodies that God has given us and how we can acclimate. But you're doing this. You're on patrol. You're walking. You know, we would go out and do patrols, walk in villages, trying to meet in some of the local villages and find out, you know, where the bad guys are. And mind you, we're doing that. We're carrying all of our gear, all of our weapon systems, and trying to hydrate as much as humanly
possible.
Listen,
for that alone, thank you. I'm still stuck on 85 degrees.
I'm still wondering how I did
want to be by the pool with some lemonade, you know.
Yeah.
150 degrees, wow.
Yeah, and that's the reality, too. It's just like right now in the summer when you look at it, anytime it gets around 95, 100 degrees, humidity, it makes me just think about the guys that are over there, the women that are over there, they're serving, and it gives me that perspective of, you know, this isn't really that hot. Mm-hmm. So when you come home and, you know, as you're saying, what is it like to empathize with these veterans? For me personally, and I can't speak for all veterans, but for me personally, one of the things that was difficult was when you look at the military, and for me, especially the Marine Corps, it was that there's such an importance of value, such an importance of teamwork and selflessness. And when you come back to our culture right now, that's very, very rare. Mm-hmm. When, especially, a lot of times in the business culture, it's very selfish, and it's very, let me get mine and I'm out of here. So a lot of veterans have a hard time empathizing when they're working with communities that there is no teamwork, and they mm-hmm. have a hard time. So the guys that they connected with, they're all over the place. And for a lot of times too, like you're saying, a lot of veterans are coming home and they have experienced excessive wounding, they're missing limbs. And there are some guys that have all their limbs. And for me, myself, I still have 10 fingers and 10 toes. But the hardest thing is that there's a lot of my brothers that are buried in Arlington. And it's just like, why am I still alive? And I know all the doctors have medical statements and medical, you know, quote unquote verbiage for that. But it's like, these are the realities that guys are still dealing with. And some people say, you know, it'll take months. And I remember a meeting, a Vietnam veteran, he says, this is not going to take months. This is going to take a lifetime to experience these things. And for me, when I got home, I almost killed myself. And I almost killed an elderly lady, because when I got out of the Marine Corps, I had no idea what to do with my life.
Now, think about this. At this time, Steve, you may just be tuning in, and Steve served in our nation in the mm-hmm. military. You were 14 months in Iraq. Mm-hmm. You did not know the Lord during mm-hmm. this time.
No, I did not.
And now you come back. You mm-hmm. don't have any family in the area. You're all by yourself. Mm-hmm. No one there to help process, you know, man, I just gave my life and I served with other people in a team and we're willing to lay our lives down every day. And here I am in a civilian world and trying to make things mm-hmm. happen. And so you're working in a stress-filled environment, people making demands of you.
And that was another thing too. It's like even driving to work, and just to kind of give you a sense of where veterans kind of perceive things, it's like I remember sitting at a red light on the way to work and the light turned green and the guy just wasn't fast enough and I almost jumped out of my car just ready to handle the situation because
we're glad that you know, have given your life to the Lord.
Seriously, and a lot of people see me now, but they don't realize literally the miracle of what God has done. Yeah. And there's that sense of urgency that a lot of guys have difficulty. Me personally, I had a very hard difficulty giving that up and how to be patient. So I would wait tables again because I waited tables as a server in college and listening to people complain about what we complain about in our culture.
You didn't bring out the ranch. Yeah. You didn't bring out the ranch.
Yeah.
Without going into too much detail about that situation, I mean, you had a really... You know, you don't want to go to a restaurant and make demands of anybody, you know, mm-hmm. but certainly not someone who just come back from war.
Yeah.
And let's just say you didn't hurt anybody, but you almost lost it there. And how did God strategically have someone there for you? Because I thought that was just a beautiful thing that God did for you.
Yes.
How did God rescue you in that moment?
In that moment, too, and it's amazing you say that because it was so strategic that there was somebody that I worked with who was a Navy veteran, and he was talking to me about the Lord for weeks at the time that I was waiting tables. And the only reason why I ever listened to him is because he was a vet.
Wow.
And if anyone else would have spoke to me, I was like, hey, man, God's not my thing. But I listened to him just to be nice. But I really began to listen to him because this was a new Jesus. I had not heard this Jesus that loves you and provides for you and speaks to you. And one particular night when I was waiting tables, like I said, a impatient young lady, she just went off on me because I forgot her ranch dressing. Mm. And in that moment, I saw myself ending the situation efficiently ending mine. But I knew at that moment, it was just like, this is too much for me. And I just shut down everything. I just saw red. I just started crying. I just started shaking and I just walked away. I didn't know what to do. So I went back to the service station where you fill up your drinks, and I said, God, I don't know you. I don't know where you are, but if you don't come down here and if you don't take this, I'm either going to kill myself or I am going to kill somebody. And I knew it's just like, that was it. I mean, I was below rock bottom. I mean, I did not know what else to do. And as soon as those words left my lips, it was like somebody was standing on me and they just got off.
Mm.
And that scared me more than almost killing that lady. Because I knew that was God, but I had no idea what to do. So as I walked right from that moment to the other server, and I told him what had happened. And we had been working for like 12 hours at that time. And he said, let's go get something to eat. So we go to another restaurant in town, and I could still tell you the very table that we sat at. And I was 28 years old, and I looked at him and I said, if what you're telling me is true, I said, if this is real, I've been looking for this my whole life.
Wow.
And that was literally 3 or 4 months right after I got out of Fallujah. And it's just amazing that when you see, it's just like, but when I look back, I would not change any of that. I wouldn't change any deployment. I wouldn't change that pressurized season in my life, because that's what it took for me to cry out to God. And I'm encouraged that it talks about in Romans, I think it's Romans 10 or Romans 20, I'm not sure. But it says that I will reveal myself to those who are not seeking me. And I was not seeking the Lord at that time. God was not on my paradigm. I had like a 7-page list of goals of what I wanted to do in my life.
He wanted to conquer the world, but yeah. That's for another program.
But God had a plan, and it's like, and that's what really just ministers and just continues to speak to me, is that God was searching for me even in that lowest point of my life to wow. tell me, even now, I love you, and I want nothing more than to know you. And it's just like, how much more when I realize that there are so many veterans enduring the same reality, to tell them, I know what you're going through.
It's amazing, Steve. It's amazing because we know you. Steve is, you know, a very loving person, very kind, and to know that somebody under that type of pressurized situation could actually contemplate and think the things that he thought about mm-hmm. really, you know, causes me to have compassion. I couldn't relate because I wasn't in the military. Mm-hmm. And although I've had family members, servicemen, I didn't have the grit, if you will, but hearing your story now helps me to look at veterans in a completely different light, and hope it does the same for you. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to break. When we get back from this break, we're going to share more about this, but as well as what's happening in Israel, because they have soldiers that come back from Operation Protective Edge, and how the citizens, mm-hmm. Israelis, got behind a certain IDF soldier. It's a beautiful thing, and we can learn from them. We're just talking about our veterans and how we can take care of them and how we can honor them. And Steve shared a tremendous testimony. I thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. You know, hearing those stories, you know, to me, and never gets old, because it helps us to put a compassion, you know, if you will, to people, mm-hmm. you know, to so, because we, you know, I think of soldiers as tough and enduring and fighting and warriors, you know, and to understand that, wow, you know, they're human, you mm-hmm. know, they have feelings, they've seen things, they've experienced things, and it's a way that we can say thank you. And, you know, speaking of thank you, there's a Israeli Defense Force soldier. His name is Yehuda, and I came across an interesting story. This soldier hurt himself. He had extensive head injuries, I mean, tremendous trauma to his body, and through some bureaucracy in Israel, the government, they weren't moving fast enough in terms of getting him the assistance that he needed. And the Israeli citizens, Steve, all mm-hmm. on their own, because they appreciate, you know, everyone in Israel, if you're a citizen, everyone has to serve in the military.
Yeah.
They found that that was unacceptable, and that he needed to have the accommodations that he needed in his home. His house needed to be, you know, remodeled mm-hmm. so that, you know, he can get, you know, all the treatment that he needed. And so they went to crowd funding, a kickstart program, if you will. And before it was all done, Steve, they raised over $370,000 American dollars. I mean, just like within days. And just because they said, listen, this is, mm-hmm. we're going to do this. Even children were contributing when they found out. And so I just think about that. Maybe, you know, we don't have to give something monetarily, but make it a point that mm-hmm. when you see someone that served in our military, to say thank you. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. I've noticed now that when I've, you know, express thanks, I'm getting a quick response, and they say, it was my pleasure, you know? And I wasn't expecting that. And it's just really beautiful.
And it's powerful, too, is that when we recognize, you know, when we see our veterans coming back to honor them, too, it's just like, I'm grateful that our generation is now getting this. But what's difficult for me, too, is that when you go into a VA office, a VA healthcare clinic, and there are still many, many that are still waiting and have not received anything at all, have not received any of the benefits that they have. They've laid down their lives. And these are Vietnam era vets. And it's heartbreaking to see that, yes, there are veterans that we're recognizing, and it's that learning curve of how to respond, what to do, what are the effects that war has on a human life. And it's just like, we can't forget our veterans. And that's the thing too, that, you know, regret is a horrible thing, and we want to be able to honor what was done, that price that was paid.
Absolutely. Maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe you've been wanting to do something like this. Get involved with your church. Maybe there's an outreach. Maybe there's a service that you could provide and to reach out to our veterans. Listen, I'm sure it would be greatly appreciated. So pray about it. See how you can get involved.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.